إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة
والسلام. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session of Darse Hadith, we touched on how the very strong Jewish tribe Banu Qaynuqa was banished and expelled from Madinatul Munawwara, and also that evil man whose name was Ka'b ibn Ashraf, who maligned the honor and status of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and as a warning to all the other tribes, he was assassinated. Unfortunately, it paid no heed for the other two Jewish tribes, as it flows in their blood, treachery and disloyalty. Straight away, in a very short matter of time, again we see the same tactics that were applied. At any given opportunity to make mischief, to make trouble, to incite, to invite other tribes in and around Madinatul Munawwara, inviting them to attack the Muslims and giving them the full aid, the full support, even reinforcements. This was their policy. The other two tribes that were there, Banu Nazir and Banu Qurayza. So we have three tribes, the three main tribes, Jewish tribes in Madinatul Munawwara. We've dealt with Banu Qaynuqa. They were banished out and some of them settled in Khaybar. Now we have the two, Banu Nazir and Banu Qurayza. Very important to learn the names in history. We have a picture, a very important picture that explains the true history and the events that unfolded in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for Banu Nazir, they were not soldiers like Banu Qaynuqa, but again extremely powerful. They did not spare a moment if any opportunity came to them to make life difficult for the Muslims. One particular incident is narrated in the books of Seerah, which later on led to their violation of the treaty, and they breached the treaty signed with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to meet with the leaders of Banu Nazir. He decided one day to go and visit their leader of the tribe Banu Nazir to explain to them that the best way forward is to live amicably, to respect each other, to show respect to Muslims, and the Muslims will show respect to you also. And that is the best way forward. You've seen what has happened to Banu Qaynuqa. We don't want to repeat the situation here. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up. With him was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam left the city of Medina. They lived in the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, extremely rich people, they had their forts, their castles, they had their own separate area cut from the city of Madinatul Munawwara. When they saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam coming, in some of the narrations it is mentioned that they already started Aliyazu Billah verbally swearing at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam from a distance. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got close to their castles, their forts, one of the Jewish guards came along and he stopped Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said to him that this is where you stop. Our leader has seen you coming and he will meet you very soon. He has told me that I must make you sit on this side of the gate. Now, close to that gate was this massive wall. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not enter in their zone. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his companions sat where he was told to sit. Aliyazu billah, very quickly, the Jews had their private meeting, the leaders, and they decided that what an opportunity we have. We have Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, himself coming to us in our area. This is the best opportunity. Aliyazu billah, they conspired to injure and even go as far as killing Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For them, killing was not a big issue. As Allah has mentioned in the Quran, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And you've heard this verse many times. That their hands are stained in the blood of Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. So if an opportunity came to them, they would carry that opportunity that's in front of them without hesitating to the least. There was one man who was an intelligent man amongst them, whose name was Maslama, Salama bin Makhsham. Salama bin Makhsham. He cautioned them and he said to them that by doing this, what they wanted is someone was to climb up the wall and to throw this large millstone on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then you'd have other people, guards, who will attack Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So our job is done, we have no problem in the city of Medina, we will secure it. As it is, trading was monopolized by the Jewish community. So they were very, very confident. But this man, Salama bin Makhsham, he said that if you do this, this will definitely constitute the breaching, the agreement that you have done with the Muslims. They paid no attention to that individual, Salama bin Makhsama, and he even said to them that I fear, looking at the past history of this man who claims to be the Rasul of Allah, it seems that his Lord informs him of everything what you intend to do. His Lord informs him of everything what you intend to do. So I am afraid that what you are plotting now, this information will come to him already. And that is what exactly happened. As Allah has said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And I will protect you from people. Here they are planning and plotting against Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Jibreel Amin comes in the habitation of Banu Nazir where they were living. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed. Jibreel Amin is with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam quickly stood up and made his way towards Madinatul Munawwara. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got to Madinatul Munawwara, obviously revelation, wahi is qat'i, you can't doubt wahi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam called for Muhammad bin Maslima, delegated to him that at once immediately go back to the forts of Banu Nazir and tell them that the Muslims are giving you an ultimatum. Only 10 days to leave and vacate Madinatul Munawwara. Only 10 days to leave and vacate Medina. Now, how merciful was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If he wanted, with the army that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, the Mujahideen at that time in Madinatul Munawwara, that overwhelming power was given to him, Aus, Khazraj. Even a lot of the mushrikeen of Madinatul Munawwara had embraced Islam. They could have easily penetrated in their zone and would have executed every single one of them. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, merciful one, gives them time and says to them, I'm giving you 10 days. Even Banu Qaynuqa were given that opportunity to leave Madinatul Munawwara and nothing happened to them. They left Madinatul Munawwara with their possessions and belongings. Again, this opportunity is given to the people of Banu Nazir. Now, we know that chameleon that's there, whose name is Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, he comes along, the middleman, and I told you this in the very first session, the most dangerous person in Madinatul Munawwara at that time was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He is Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of all the hypocrites. He comes along, information is given to him. Muhammad bin Maslama has already made his way towards the forts of Banu Nazir. He quickly gets there, meets the leaders. He had access to meet any of the leaders from the Jewish tribes. He met them and he said, look, don't be scared. Whatever the Muslims tell you, don't listen to them. I am on your side. If the Muslims were to attack you, I will provide 2,000 reinforcements from my followers to be with you, to side with you. They will be your allies, and that is a guarantee. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul had this tongue, very convincing tongue. Anybody who would listen to him would say that this man is nothing but the truth. This man is nothing but the truth. Very convincing. And they fell for him, Banu Nazir. And they said to Muhammad bin Maslama, in a very arrogant way, go and tell your leader, Aliyazu Billah, Muhammad bin Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do what you want, we are staying here. Do what you want, we are staying here. And Muhammad bin Maslama came back with the information. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got very angry. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah. 3 times he said, yeah. Allahu Akbar. And he said to the companions that now prepare for jihad against Banu Nazir. I have given them an opportunity. They even wanted, they plot to kill the Nabi of the time, Aliyazu Billah. They provoke, they conspire, they incite the other tribes that are outside Madinatul Munawwara. Every chance is given to them. And even now, they want to stand against the Muslims. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to everybody, stand up. And the banner was given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. When they went for jihad, this was customary in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, all the armies had their own banners. Hazrat Ali was the man in charge. He had the banner. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with him also. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed the Mujahideen as they went towards the forts of Banu Nazir. Allahu Akbar, what was Abdullah bin Ubay going to do? It is mentioned in the Quran, Wahi came, he said to the Banu Nazir leader, وَإِن قُتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ, that if they fight with you, rest assured, we will come and we will support you. وَإِن قُتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ, we will help you. The Mujahideen, the Muslims came along, and Banu Nazir were already scared. Now, they were not fighters like Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Qurayza. They were scared. But they had an advantage. The strategic advantage they had was that they were on a very high surface up the hills. And the Muslims were further down below. And further down below, there were a lot of palm trees. So it was difficult for the Muslims to fight and to shoot the arrows at the arrows that were coming down from their castles. So it was extremely difficult for the Muslims to retaliate and to fight back. The siege was on for approximately 15 days according to one narration. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the situation and he said to the companions that it is becoming very, very difficult for the Muslims to retaliate, to fight back. What we need to do is that the palm trees belong to Banu Nazir anyway. So cut down all the trees. Cut down all the trees. Allahu Akbar. And there, the Muslims started cutting down the trees. This is also mentioned in the Kalam of Allah. مَا قَطَعْتُم مِّن لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُهَا قَائِمَةً عَلَى أُصُولِهَا فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That the tree you cut and the trees that you left, everything was with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, when you go for jihad, there are rules and regulations. Private properties must be maintained, preserved, nothing should happen to them, civilians must be protected, trees, animals, everything must be secure and protected. Nothing must happen. And therefore this ayat-e kareema was revealed, that the trees that you cut was from the permission given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the trees came down, it was easy target for the Muslims. In a matter of 15 days, things became very, very difficult for the people of Banu Nazir. And slowly they had no choice but to surrender. Some of the Jews were looking further back in Madinatul Munawwara, hoping that maybe the 2,000 will come from the back somewhere to attack the Muslimin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul as shaitan in the Quran. Allah says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. What does shaitan do? إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. He tells the insan, look, become a kafir, deviate from the straight path, become a kafir. فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ. And when he does kufr, قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ. He pushes himself away from that incident. He says, I don't even know you. Now you've committed kufr, it is your problem. And this is what exactly Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul would do. He would say, give them a lot of encouragement, I will be there, but at the right time, he is not there. The Muslims were there, Allahu Akbar, they came down, and one of them said that we will surrender to whatever the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and we will vacate and leave Madinatul Munawwara. Again, the merciful one. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, now these are Jews that I'm talking about. Take with you all your belongings, whatever you can. You have the full permission. Nothing will be taken by the Muslims. Subhanallah. It is said that Banu Nazir at that time loaded 600 camels with all their possessions. They did not leave anything for the Muslims, including the pegs, including the pegs were also taken. The only thing that the Muslims did not allow to take were the weapons that they had. The weapons were all taken by the Muslims. But anything else, it's up to you. If you can carry, go. Subhanallah al-Azim, now you see again that entire zone of Banu Nazir, their castles and their forts and the entire zone absolutely being vacated quickly. 600 camels now moving out of Madinatul Munawwara. Where do they go and take refuge? Some of them go to Syria, Sham, but majority of them go back to Khaybar. Majority of them go back to Khaybar. And we need to link up with Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala at Khaybar. So now we've dealt with two of the Jewish tribes, Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa. Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa. The most important part is what happens with the last Jewish tribe living in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, which is Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza. It is said that on the fifth year of Hijri, after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, the month of Zilqa'da, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning back again from a decisive battle, just like the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud. Nobody looks at the time. Abhi to bahut time hai. Fir aap logon ko chutti hai, main to Haj ke liye jaunga. To fir aapko chutti hogi. Aaj inshaAllah isko aap pura kar le. Ji. To Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming back. The battle of Ahzab, the battle of the trench, the battle of the trench. Now this was not much of a physical war, but it was the battle of nerves. Nevertheless, it was a decisive event in the Islamic history. Muslims were very, very tired, very, very tired. We won't go and cover the whole story of the battle of Ahzab. Just to continue from that point, that the battle had been completed and the Muslims were returning back to Madinatul Munawwara. The companions had the armor of jihad on and also their weapons. As Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, it was close towards Fajr, after Fajr, and going towards Zuhr time. Some of the kafla, the caravan people came a bit late, the mujahideen. And just before Zuhr, Hazrat Jibreel Amin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the riwayat, it comes that Hazrat Jibreel Amin came with his sword and his uniform of jihad. His uniform of jihad with a sword. Jibreel alayhi salam ki talwar kaise hogi, bhai? Allahu Akbar. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel all of a sudden at noon in the intense heat. Jibreel Amin is here. And he says to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I see the mujahideen are now taking out their armor of jihad and putting down their weapons when the battle is not yet over.
Yeah.
Allah has sent me and instructed me to tell you that none from the mujahideen must rest. They were extremely tired and exhausted.
Yeah.
They come to Madinatul Munawwara and Allah does not give them a single minute to rest. Now this battle, the battle of Qurayza, the fights, this was a direct command from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the case of Banu Nazir and in the case of Banu Qaynuqa, it was the decision made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no choice. For Banu Qurayza, Jibreel Amin comes. And he said that none must take out their uniform, their armor, their helmets and their swords. Immediately everyone must go towards Banu Qurayza and fight them. Jibreel Amin says to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am going ahead and Allah has instructed me to quake the earth where the people of Banu Qurayza are living. Zameen ko zara mutazalzal kar de hila de. Just to put fear and create a bit of terror in their hearts. So Jibreel Amin went forward. Subhanallah al-Azim, a little tsunami, well not a tsunami, a quake, earthquake for them. Warning them that now the Muslims are coming. Subhanallah, how did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obey the command of Allah? As Allah says, go immediately to Banu Qurayza. He gathered all the companions and he said to them that I want none of you to perform Salatul Asr on the road. Everyone will perform Salatul Asr in the habitation of Banu Qurayza.
Yeah.
Why? Allah has instructed me, immediately you must go to fight Banu, the people of Banu Qurayza. Now on the way again, that Masla Ijtihad, some of the people were saying that do we pray our Asr Salah, it's getting late. Some of them said no. That is a masla in itself. Again, these are masail of ijtihad. Nevertheless, all of the companions gather at Banu Qurayza. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. Again, the flag is given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. The man in charge of Madinatul Munawwara is Abdullah bin Maktoum. Abdullah bin Maktoum. He was a sahabi and a blind sahabi. He was in charge in Madinatul Munawwara whilst Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out of Madinatul Munawwara. This time, the siege was laid for approximately 25 days. In the case of Banu Nazir, it was for 15 days. And for Banu Qurayza, it was 25 days. Now the leader of Banu Qurayza, his name was Ka'b ibn Asad. Ka'b ibn Asad. He saw what was happening and he said to his people that, look, I have a few proposals to make to you and I want you to accept one. Now the Muslims are there, 3,000 in number or much more. And the people were scared. Jibreel Amin had slightly shaken them also. So they were feared, they were scared. They knew exactly that defeat was in front of them. So this man, Ka'b ibn Asad, was a clever man, intelligent man. He said to the people that the first choice I give you is that all of us know here and the rabbis that are in front of me, we all know that this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his description is in the Torah and that he is the Rasul of Allah. So my first proposal is that we should all become Muslims and embrace Islam. And again now, the rabbis that were there, the Jewish people that were there, the leaders, and they say, Ka'b ibn Asad, you are telling us to become Muslims? And he said, you know in the scriptures that Nabi that was to come can only be this man of the Qurayshi people, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they rejected. They said, no, this we cannot accept. Out of anger, then he said, then the second choice I give you is that why don't all of you go and kill your women folks and your children and then stand up to fight the Muslims. So at least our women are not humiliated and our children are not taken as prisoners. So kill your women folks and your children and then all the men we will fight. Save us that humiliation. And they said to Ka'b ibn Asad, how can we do that? Kill our own family members? Or maut se to ye log bahut bhagte hain. Maut se. This is what is mentioned in the Quran, that they love life. Life is very important for them. They fear death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that if you say that you are very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Allah loves you a lot and that you are the dear ones to Allah, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then why don't you pray for death? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, تَمَنَّا كَرُوْ مَوْتِ كِي. Ribai, somebody who wants to go for Hajj, he is eager, he wants to get to the Maidan of Arafat. If you love Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want to get to Madinatul Munawwara. When you love someone, you want to quickly meet him. So you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quickest way to get to Allah is to die. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, so make dua, supplicate, so that you die quickly. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Are they going to make dua for death? No. Subhanallah al-Azim. The second proposal was also cancelled, rejected. And now the third proposal. Ka'b ibn Asad said that, look, even the Muslims know that the Jews don't fight on a Saturday, Yawm al-Sabt. Let's take the Muslims by surprise by attacking them on a Saturday. So on a Saturday they will feel relaxed that the Jews don't fight on a Saturday. So let's attack them on a Saturday. And the rabbis stood up. Don't you know that our forefathers were transformed into monkeys for fighting on a Saturday? Unko to bandar bana diya tha yawm usab ko fight karne ki wajah se. So you want us to fight on a Saturday? Again, Ka'b ibn Asad got so fed up and he said, the problem with you and all your forefathers is that you never come to a decision. You can do what you want. You can do what you want. Now this is the leader of the Jewish tribe Banu Qurayza. Stay alert, huh? Mere dosto, inshallah, in a few minutes we will end the session. Now, the siege is on. The difficulty is there. The Muslims are also down below, making sure that none can get out. It was a difficult moment for the Jews of Banu Qurayza. They came up with a proposal that the closest to us from the Muslims is a man whose name is Abu Lubaba. Kya naam hai uska? Abu Lubaba. What a beautiful name. Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba. Subhanallah. Now Abu Lubaba had good ties with the Jewish people. He was a sincere Sahabi. But he would often go, he had access to meet these people. They said that call Abu Lubaba, maybe he can be a good broker and that he can come up with some solution, a mediator. And we will listen to him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the merciful one, said, right, you want Abu Lubaba? No problem. Hazrat Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala an comes. Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala an comes. Now the Jewish ladies and the children and everyone there come and they greet Abu Lubaba and they say, Abu Lubaba, look what has happened. The Muslims have surrounded us. What are we to do? Hazrat Abu Lubaba said to them, in my opinion, you must surrender to the Muslims, to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in saying that, the one thing what he did was that he looked at the Jews, those that knew him, and he said to them, what did he do? That's all he did. And they got even scared. Bhai, koi aadmi tumhe yun kare? Now what he did with his hands, he touched his throat as if someone is slitting your throat, indicating to them quietly that the Muslims are very angry, they have in mind to execute all of you. Now doing that, Abu Lubaba, a mukhlis sahabi, felt that he has betrayed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somehow he feels that he has divulged information which was secret, which was not to be informed, not to be divulged. And so he started weeping and crying in front of the Jews just by doing that. And he stood up and he kissed the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, no, I can't talk to these people, I've done something wrong. Quickly went to the masjid, said to his wife, get a rope for me, and he tied himself to one of the pillars of the masjid.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar. And he said to his family members that I have betrayed my Nabi, but Allah knows in my heart my iman is strong. Now, even the slightest form of disrespect or information given was a major sin for the companions. Now this was not even intentional. Just talking casually he did that. He felt that this was betrayal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wife tied him to the pillar. And he said that I will only leave for salat, salatil maktuba, for farz namaz, and for me to go to the toilet. Otherwise I will tie myself here, no food, no nothing, until Allah decides my fate, until Allah decides for me what he wants me to do. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to inquire what happened to Abu Lubaba, and information was given to him. Allah's Nabi said, may Allah have mercy on Abu Lubaba. Only if Abu Lubaba came to me, I would have interceded for him to my Lord, and I would have asked forgiveness on his behalf, and Allah would have forgiven him. But now that he has taken this issue to himself, it is between him and Allah. It is between him and Allah. So in Masjid Nabawi today, you have one pillar, sutun, which says, Ustuwanatu Abu Lubaba. One should go there and perform two rakats nafal day. Ustuwanatu Abu Lubaba. That is the exact pillar. Now in Masjid Nabawi, you'll have a lot of changes. But as far as the pillars are concerned, the pillars have not been changed in a sense that the pillars that we have today, is in the same location where the pillars were in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the pillars have not been changed for that matter. It is that right location. Ustuwanai Abu Lubaba. Now again, going back to the same situation, what do we do with the people of Banu Qurayza? The second option, the companions came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, if Abu Lubaba is not here, then remember that the people Banu Qurayza have been allies of the Aus tribe, and the leader of the Aus tribe is Sa'd bin Mu'az. Let's ask them if they are happy to take Sa'd bin Mu'az as a mediator for them. So the Muslims informed the Jewish people that if Sa'd bin Mu'az was to give his decision what to do with Banu Qurayza, Would you accept that, and would you accept him as your mediator also? Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az had received injury in the battle of Ahzab. An arrow was shot to his artery, so he was injured in Madinatul Munawwara. The Jews were very, very happy because they knew Sa'd bin Mu'az was from the tribe of Aus, and Aus was an ally to the Banu Qurayza before the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, so if Abu Lubaba, if he is gone, so Sa'd bin Mu'az is the best option. Sahaba go to Madinatul Munawwara. Sa'd bin Mu'az is lifted up on an animal with the injuries, and Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiyallahu ta'ala an comes. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that mashwara has been done that you have to pass a decision with the people of Banu Qurayza, and the Jews are even happy with this. The Jewish tribe is happy. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az with his injury stood up and he looked at the people in front, the Jewish people, and he said that you are happy with what I decide for you, my decision, and they agreed. Whatever you say, we will agree. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az was a learned scholar. This man was an incredible Sahabi. He also studied the Torah, and he said to the people that I will give my decision in accordance to the Torah. In accordance to the Torah, because you are Jewish people. And he looked at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now I want you to compare the situation with Banu Nazir, Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Qurayza. And he said to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam at that time, and the Jewish people that were there, that I want all the men to be executed and beheaded. All of them should be killed. And the women and the children we will take as prisoners. When they heard this decision from the mouth of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiyallahu ta'ala an, it was a shock for them. Bhai, ye to maut ke muh se nikal kar maut ke andar hi dakhil ho gaye. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az is saying that everyone should be executed. Decision was given, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fine. Whatever Sa'd bin Mu'az says, that is fine. The women and the children were taken as prisoners, and all the men were gathered, taken out from their forts, taken to Madinatul Munawwara, and every single one of them was executed. Every single one of them was executed. Now possibly one might be thinking that why not with Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa? They were given the chance to go to Syria. But with Banu Qurayza, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. The reason all of them were executed, they played a different role as compared to their brethren Jewish tribes. In the battle of Ahzab, when 10,000 Qurayshi mushriks came from Makkah to fight the Muslims, the first tribe to violate and breach the agreement was Banu Qurayza, and every single one of them sided with mushrikeen to fight the Muslims. And the Muslims were injured. And it was an extremely difficult situation for the Muslim, because on one side in the Battle of the Trench, it was the Kuffar were trying to come into Medina. And in Medina to take control was difficult, because now you had the Jewish tribe Banu Qurayza internally fighting the Muslims. So it was a difficult moment. And in accordance to Torah, anyone who takes up arms against you and who tried to kill you, in retaliation you do the same. And this was the verdict given by Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala. These people were merciless and pitiless. The Banu Qurayza people even attacked the Muslim women and children that were secured in a garrison. They attacked where the Muslim women were. And if it was not for the bravery of one single lady, and I don't recall her name, she is the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. If it was not the bravery for that one lady, she picked up a broken branch, and very quietly hit that on one of the Jewish soldiers that was coming, and he died instantly. And they thought that this entire garrison has been secured and is well guarded by the Muslims. Otherwise, there was a possibility that they would have come and massacred and would have killed all the Sahabiyat, Muslim women, and also the children. So they had no mercy. Otherwise, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not have taken this decision. But it was their doings that fell back onto them. And after this decision, it is said that Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az, the injury got severe. And in a few days, Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az passed away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, for the janaza salat of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az, 70,000 angels came down.
MashaAllah.
70,000, and this is in the hadith. For no sahabi, Allah's Rasul has said, ihtazal arshu bi mawtiha, that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to shake when the ruh of Sa'd bin Mu'az was taken out from his body. Imagine what a great sahabi he must be. And at that vital moment, the decision that he came up with. Allahu Akbar. And it is said that when he was buried, the one thing with the grave of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az, that there was khushbu, fragrance that was coming out from the grave of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiyallahu ta'ala. This was the fate with all the tribes in Madinatul Munawwara, Banu Qurayza, Banu Nazir, and Banu Qaynuqa. InshaAllah ta'ala, if Allah wills, after the return back from Hajj, we will continue with the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Dua kala. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina. This is the last session, inshaAllah, and then after Hajj. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله اس مجلس کو قبول فرما اللہ رحیم اس مجلس کو قبول فرما اللہ یہ نوجوان ساتھی بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں اللہ ان کے بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما یا اللہ دنیا کے کام میں مشغول ہو سکتے تھے لیکن اللہ اور اس کے رسول کی محبت کی وجہ سے وہ بیٹھتے ہیں اللہ تو بہانہ ڈھونڈتا ہے اللہ اس مجلس کو قبول فرما لے اللہ اس مجلس میں جتنے لوگ بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے گھر پر سن رہی ہے مستورات اللہ جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے جس کی جو حاجت ہے یا اللہ اس حاجت کو پورا فرما اللہ اس حاجت کو پورا فرما اللہ اس مجلس کو ایسی پاک مجلس بنا کہ فرشتے اس کو گھیر لیتے ہیں اللہ اس کو مقبول فرما اللہ اس کو مقبول فرما اللہ ہمارے دلوں میں صحابہ کرام اجمعین کی محبت ڈال دے صحابہ کرام اجمعین کے عاشق بن جائے اور ہمارے لیے آسان کر دے کہ ہم نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت کے اوپر چلے اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ ہمیں برکت دے جسم میں برکت دے اللہ جسم میں برکت دے عمر میں برکت دے ہر چیز میں برکت دے آنکھوں میں یا اللہ کان میں زبان میں ہاتھ میں پیر میں جسم کی ایک ایک گوشے میں اللہ ہمیں برکت دے اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ جس کی جو پریشانی ہے اس پریشانی کو دور فرما اللہ جس کی جو پریشانی ہے اس پریشانی کو دور فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقی محمد وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین